nonetheless, here we are, continuing our series in 1 Peter. We finally got to chapter 3. And I say that with a chuckle a little bit because chapter 3, I personally believe that 1 Peter chapter 3 is one of those really difficult passages in the Bible that's really hard to preach. There are a handful of passages that I'm giving you guys a little inside info, inside secret, that as pastors and teachers, you look at it and you're like, oh shoot, I gotta do this, you know what I mean? And this is one of those chapters, okay? Very difficult. Most of Leviticus, for example, like we're never gonna do a series in Leviticus because it's like, don't eat lobster. I can't preach that. I'm sorry. I don't have the skills to do that. Okay? Like, don't eat rabbit. I don't know how. I can't connect that to Christ. Okay? But, nonetheless. So, 1 Peter chapter 3, just letting you guys know, it is difficult. This is, even in the preparation of this passage, it was really hard. It was a battle this whole week, to be honest. Just work through it. Get through it, and I think I wrote and rewrote this message like at least two or three times. I rewrote vast like parts of it completely, at least a few times. So this thing has gone under a lot of revisions, but nonetheless, I submit to God, hoping that He would use me to communicate the point that He wants us to know, okay? And so today we're going to look at godly womanhood. And I don't want y'all, all the guys, to be like, ha, I can just take a break. No, okay, we're gonna get to it. We're going to get to the guys, okay? But for today, specifically, we're going to talk about the women. But we are nonetheless still talking about the family unit. In terms of God's design for the family, okay? And so, 1 Peter chapter 3, if you are there. Again, let's get in the habit of bringing your actual swords, okay? No e-swords up in this place, okay? Like, actual swords, okay? So, like, Brian and Caleb and Colin, right? Be like, and Joseph, right? Okay? Gotcha, man. All right? And then you want to mark it up, okay? So Joseph, Caleb, you guys, you know, going through it, you want to like make notes, cross out stuff, and then highlight stuff. That's good, right? My friend Phil and I, we have always a saying: we don't judge a person's holiness by how much stuff they do at church. We judge their holiness by how messed up their Bibles are. Okay? If someone says, "Hey, I love Jesus," but their Bibles are like pristine condition, and it's like 15 years old, then they lying to you, okay? All right? So even just the act of opening and closing and for 15 years is going to mess it up, okay? So just use your Bibles, okay? And it will be to your benefit, okay? And so if you lose it, I can pick it up and I can use it for my sermon notes at the very least, okay? Anyway, two lessons that we want to see. The phrase, in the same way, okay? And then the second lesson we want to see is evangelism. Actually, that's a typo. It should be evangelism through action, not speech. Evangelism through action. Okay. And so, the first lesson, first point, in the same way, Peter uses the phrase "in the same way," and be submissive. Okay. In the 2014, I almost said 2013. Oh my goodness! Okay, in 2014, America, especially when it comes to direct reference to femalehood or womanhood, the words submission or be submissive, it's explosive. It's dangerous, right? It's a landmine, right? And a lot of older, well-meaning pastors would tell me, "Don't talk about it." Don't talk about it. Why put yourself in that situation where you're going to either confuse people or make people mad? Don't talk about it. Just bypass it and then just talk about the good stuff, like Jesus loves you, okay? But that's good for them. But you know what? For us, we're going to talk about everything that God says, right? And that's my job, right? So I don't get to pick and choose what I want to talk about. I have just, God tells me what to say. Here it is, all right? I am the server. I am not the cook. So if you have a problem with the food, take it up with God, okay? I'm just a server. I'm bringing it out to y'all, all right? Nonetheless, in the same way, submit. Okay, so you go, okay, first of all, in the same way, what is that talking about? In the same way. Peter is obviously talking about something he's talked about previously, okay? Now, if you actually had your Bibles and not an e-sword, you can actually just look at your page and look up a little bit and see exactly where it's coming from. And since there's only a handful of us who actually have our Bibles, let me tell you, if you look back to chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, where Peter says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." Okay, so that's the main thesis that Peter's still working off of. Okay, so in case you go, "Oh, but this is a whole other chapter." Remember, when Peter wrote this, he didn't have chapters and verses. He just wrote this. It's a letter. Okay. And so when Peter says, "in the same way," he is actually referring to that idea of where he's previously mentioned, for example, for the whole church to what? Submit to our governments. Right? And he's also told specifically to those who are slaves, submit to your masters. Or for us in 2014, for those who are employed. As much as evil as your bosses and managers might seem, still submit to them. Or if you're J, you are still a slave, so nonetheless still submit, okay, to your slave driver, okay? But anyway, so what I don't want you guys to think is Peter saying, in the same way in terms of Peter specifically referring only back to the slave passage, meaning this, because people have actually done this, that they make the argument that Peter's talking about women and wives specifically, that you need to be slaves to your husbands. He's not talking about that at all. No. I would argue to those people who say that you need to make a legitimate grammatical case, and there just isn't any. Okay? And so when Peter says in the same way, he's talking about that submission to submission to the authorities, okay, and the structure that God has established, okay, and this goes all the way back to Genesis, right? Genesis chapter 1 to 3, you see the order that God has created. Okay, quick rundown, right? He creates the world, right, planet Earth, and then he creates animals to live in the world. Right? And then he creates people to take care of the world and the planet. Right? That's why even pollution and stuff like that, God don't like that. Okay, because we're not taking care of the world. Right? We're not supposed to like abuse it, use and abuse. No, that's totally wrong. Right? When God actually says take care of it, right? When he says rule and dominate it, that's actually a Hebrew word. It actually means to care for, look after. Okay? And so there's the world, the animals, and then people. Right, that's the order, right? And then you take a closer look at the people, right? God creates family. Right. So what we have to understand is, even though in 2014 people like to argue marriage is a human institution, if we say as a people of God, no. Based on the Word of God, marriage is a God institute. It's a God idea because God is the one who first did the first marriage ceremony. Okay? And so God's design for the family is man, a woman. Okay, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what crazy people say. It's just not like that, all right? Adam and Eve, all right? And then kids under that, right? And it is, and the man has specific tasks that he is supposed to do. For example, he is the head of the household, meaning he must guys, I gotta tell you, when you get married, don't just think about all the lovey-dovey stuff. Don't think about, oh man, I never have to ask a girl out on a date again, right? I say that because I thought that. I was like, yes, once I get married, I never have to ask out a girl out again. I never have to go look for a girl or whatever. No, it's all good. It's always set, right? So you don't have to go through all that trouble, right? Not to say that, anyway, that's another message, okay? For guys, we have a very specific task that God has given us. Most specifically, most importantly, God has given us the task of being the leaders of the house, especially spiritually. And this is a scary lesson, but maybe for all of you guys, but it's very true, and it's in the Bible, and it says this. When God comes back, he's not going to ask your pastors, hey, you know, why is Kristen not didn't know about this, or why didn't Caitlin know about this? He's actually not going to ask me. He's actually going to ask the husbands. He's going to ask the fathers. Okay, I mean, there will be a part where he's going to ask us, like, yo, why didn't, you know, God's going to be like, hey, well, how come Sung didn't do this? Or that's my bad, you know. But more specifically, it's about spiritual maturity. For the individuals, it falls on the shoulders of the husband, father. Okay? All right? And I say this because even in Genesis, we see specifically the instance where God talks to Adam. Right? In Genesis chapter 2, he talks to Adam. He says, well, I have made all this, okay? I made the garden. Take care of it. Name all the animals. Okay? And in the whole garden, eat everything except this. Okay, and this is that whole lesson, right? Like, here's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat it, you will die. Here is the tree of life. If you eat it, you will live forever. Now, in this garden, you can eat everything. Everything. Except this. Okay? Now, he says that to Adam, specifically. Okay? We're not going to talk about his stupidity and the reason for sin. Anyway, okay? He says that specifically to Adam, but God is never seen speaking directly to Eve. However, Eve still knows about what happened. How is that possible? In Genesis 3, Eve knows, right? The devil goes to Eve and says, hey, did God say this? And Eve is able to respond and say, no, God said, we can't eat this. We could eat everything. We can't eat this. How does she know? Because Adam told her. Okay? So that is the task of man to receive God's word and to teach it to his family. Okay? And I say that because here, it's easy for us to say Peter looking, painting women as inferior in any way. He's not. He's totally not. He's absolutely not talking about women being inferior. Because if you even have your actual Bibles, okay? If you look down, where are we? To verse 7. Okay? Verse 7. We're not there yet, but I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But verse 7, Peter says this. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives according to the knowledge as someone weaker, not because she's inferior. Since she is a woman, show her honor. Because why? Because she's a fellow heir of the grace of life. So in the kingdom of God, women are may be physically weaker, but they are not in any way inferior, inadequate, or less worthy. Okay? So ladies, don't ever let anyone beat you over the Bible and trick you and lie to you and say, according to the Bible, you are less than me. And you say, shut up. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me get at you, man. Let me talk to you. Okay? You guys have to have the guts to do that. Right? If you want to be a godly woman, right? I talked about previously just about how men need to step up and teach the word of God to his family. Women, you also need to be godly in that you need to know the word of God enough that when your man is not doing his job, you need to be like, hey, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you going to say to Jesus when he comes back and looks in your eye and say, hey, how come you didn't teach your Bible to your family? Right? Females, ladies, when I say females, don't understand me saying that to talk down to you. Okay, I mean that in the Greek sense, when Jesus said to his mom, woman, Okay, that's how I'm coming out, right? Now, ladies, but that's your prerogative, okay? That is your dignity, that is your worth, right? It is well within your rights to step up to your husband and say, hey, you need to do your job, right? And guys, let me tell you, there's ladies out there that are actually like that. Those are the ones you marry. Those are the ones that are not just interested in their holiness, but they're interested in your holiness. Those are the ones you marry, okay? Just inside dating tip, right? Straight from the Bible. Anyway, so that's what Peter's talking about when he says, in the same way, and submit, right? He's telling the women to submit because he's saying, hey, ladies, you guys submit because in the design of God, especially in the family, men do this, you women do this. Right? And you go, and the popular idea in the Western culture is that, no, women can and should do everything that men do. And you say, okay, I mean, part of it I understand because just of the history of America, for example, where women have historically been paid less for the same work they do, right? And there have been very various disadvantages of ladies in the workforce, right? However, right, men and women, we are not the same. There are things that guys can do that women just simply cannot do, right? And you go, okay, like what? Well, I don't want to be vulgar or graphic, so I'm going to just make an example. For example, in your organs, if we all took an x-ray, right? We all have various organs. We have lungs, heart, kidney, whatever, right? Liver and whatever, right? They're all organs, but they all do something different. But they're all part of one body, right? I mean, Paul actually makes that argument, so I'm okay. I'm allowed to make that example, okay? Paul actually says that. He said, hey, check this out. In your body, there's a bunch of organs, and they all do something very specific, but they all make up one body, right? And then Paul actually makes that connection to church. He says, hey, in the church, we have all a bunch of different people, but we're all one church, but we all do different things. You know, and I would dare to just take a step further a little bit, and specifically for the families, right? That's why this is what Peter's talking about specifically in terms of the women. God, ladies, you submit to your husbands because that is, number one, the design of God, and number two, not because you are any less or you are any less important, but because that is your function. That is how God has designed the family. Okay, and now when I say submit, okay, when the Bible says submit, it's not talking about I want you guys to disconnect it from the previous passage at the end of chapter 2 where he's talking about slaves. Okay, he's not talking about slavery. Okay, ladies, don't let a man ever say, "Hey, I love Jesus," right? And then he tricks you into marrying that fool, right? And then he starts hitting you. Any man who raises his hand against you, that is no, he is against the law and he's against the law of God. You leave that fool. You run. Right? If you need help, I will be there. Right? Just let me know. I will work out a code where you can text it to me or whatever, and I'll be there with a baseball bat and some friends. Okay? We'll have some intense Bible study with a bunch of dudes. Okay? We'll have an intensive emergency Bible study for guys. Okay? And guys, we all know, sometimes we need it. All right? And so when the Bible says submit, ladies, okay, don't think, oh, I got to be like a slave. I just do whatever he says. No, he's not talking about that. God's not talking about that. That's not your design. Okay? The design of a woman is to submit in love and humility, and most specifically, and I say this from just experience and love, and Peggy said I can say it, okay? And because she said this to me, okay, after 5 years of marriage, she said, one of the hardest things for women, especially once you get married, especially in a Christian, God-honoring marriage, the hardest thing for a woman is to submit your executive decision powers. Well, she didn't say that, but that's what she was talking about. What that means is this. When you're single, okay, all the important decisions of your life, you can make it on the spot, easy. once you marry, then you become a part of a family. You have to relinquish that control. This doesn't mean you don't express your thoughts and your opinions and your views. Because believe me, as a psych major, I know for a fact, it's a scientific fact, you guys use more of your brains than we do. Okay? You guys are working on like the latest, the greatest that Mac software can offer. Okay? I think they're at like OS X 10.8, I think. Something like that, right? Guys, we're working on like 8-bit Nintendo NES back from the 80s, man. Right? We barely have color. Okay? So just understand. Okay? We need your help in making the decisions, but at the same time, ladies, you guys have to submit and give up that power. And again, this goes back to Genesis. You know, we could have actually done a whole thing on Genesis just as a side note here. And it is a part of your the sinful nature of men and women. And for ladies, God says specifically in Genesis, as a part of the fall, you will desire to rule over your husband. And so you got to fight it. It's not going to be easy, but you got to fight it. Right? And so when Peter says, submit to your husbands, he's talking about that. Right? Now, there is something that we got to talk about in terms of the background. And that gets into the second lesson we see. Evangelism through action, not words. Evangelism through action, not words. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Okay? Check this out. Back in the day, 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire, when two people get married, the religion of the husband, whatever that may be, and again, you gotta have to remember, the Roman Empire at that time was a little bit like America in terms of they just had everybody, anything and everything, religion-wise. Because remember, Rome conquered like so many different countries and cultures and stuff, and what they did was they incorporated, instead of like making everyone Roman, speak Roman language, wear Roman stuff, you know, use Roman coins. I think they actually did that anyway. Most importantly, you know, basically live the Roman lifestyle. They didn't force that on people. They said, okay, you guys can keep your culture, just pay us taxes, just pay us money. Okay, and you guys could keep all that stuff, right? Which is really smart. Anyway, but one of the effects of that is that every country and culture and region that they conquered, they imported their religions into Rome. And so, for example, in Acts, when we see Paul go to Athens, Athens, back in the day, 2,000 years ago, is still the philosophical and also it was becoming a little bit of a religious center, meaning there was a lot of really smart philosophy schools and philosophers, leaders of philosophy in the field, as well as different religions, right? He goes to a place where they have a bunch of temples. He sees temples from this country and that country and this country and that country. And again, even at this time, the cult of the emperor has already begun. And so emperors have started to call themselves gods and demanded worship from citizens. Okay? And so when Peter said, when Peter's talking about this, the first century original audience, especially the wives, when you marry into a family, the religion of the husband is what you were expected to adopt. Okay? Now, that's a very, very big problem, especially if you as a lady, young lady, love Jesus, came to know God, right? And you married this dashing man, young man, right? Maybe he came up to your house in a white horse and said, need a ride? Right? And just said, okay. Right? And eventually he tricked you into saying, I do. Okay? I keep saying that because I really believe a part of me, guys, we actually do have to trick them into saying I do. Because if they really knew how messed up we were, they would never say I do. Okay? You take that to the bank. Alright? Anyway. And so this is the problem, right? If you're a young lady, you love Jesus, and then you marry this fool who doesn't love Jesus. Because the custom of the day is, you got to adopt whatever he wants to do. And there were a lot of different various cases. You know, sometimes people just got divorced. And Paul says, hey, if that happens to you, then it's not your fault. You just move on. Right? But Paul and Peter all will say, you got to fight for that marriage. Just because that marriage is busted doesn't mean you throw it away. Fight for it. Fight for it. And what Peter says is, fight for it by submitting. By submitting. So even in that difficult marriage, especially when it comes to religion, you have to submit. And you say, how does that work? Well, I say submit to the point where your submission to your husband doesn't mess up your relationship with God. And you think, does that really happen? Yes, it does actually happen. I know someone that's pretty close to me. I don't want to say that she was a believer, but she was getting there. She started dating a nice man. He was not a believer. He actually couldn't care less if there was a God. Even though I firmly believe if I talk to a man, I could get him there. Right? Not because I'm all good, but it just there's some holes in his philosophy. Anyway, right? So she started dating, and then eventually he proposed, and he tricked her, and she said, I do. Right? I just came back from another wedding like a couple weeks ago. It's a trick, man. Ladies, just be aware, okay? He's tricking you. Anyway, and I remember she was asking me, she's like, hey, what do you think especially about going to church? When they were dating, he didn't say anything. She went to church all the time, every Sunday, right? She was learning stuff about God, and it was wonderful. But I did warn her, because I asked her, I said, hey, does he go to church? And she said, no. I said, I'm going to warn you. This is just my opinion, but I think it's going to happen. I'm going to warn you. If you don't deal with this before you get married, once you get married, he's not going to let you go to church. And she said, no, he's not going to do that. He's a nice guy. He is a nice guy. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Guess what happened? Once they got married, they actually had huge fights. You know? Not like fist fights or anything, but just big arguments. And I think because he's smart and he's nice, he figured out instead of arguing with her every Sunday, he just makes plans on Sunday. So like they go do stuff, like you know, mountain climbing, or whatever healthy people do. Okay. But it happens today, even now. Right. That's what I like to call missionary dating. Missionary dating always fails. You're asking for trouble, right? And you go, but Pastor Sam, he's so good. He's a good guy. I don't care. He's a dirty sinner and he's stupid, okay? But Pastor Sam, she's so pretty. I know, but one day she's not because she's going to get old, okay?
That's right.
Don't look at the outside, dudes, guys. Forever, hey, now. Don't get tricked by the outside, okay? Because check this out. The real fly ladies, we're going to talk about this next week. Okay? The real fly ladies, they don't need to put all the external stuff. You know why? Because the inside is pretty. That don't ever change. Right? So don't get tricked by the outside stuff. I actually had an uncle who's now divorced, told me that. He told me that when I was like in high school, like ninth grade. He said, don't ever marry a girl because she's so pretty. Because one day, she's not going to be pretty.
It's an illusion.
I was like, alright. I was about to be like, are you saying that because she's about to leave you because you're drunk? Anyway, another story. Okay. And so the lesson here, ladies, is this. Even in that difficult marriage, don't throw it out. You still fight for it. You fight for it by submitting. By submitting in love and humility. At the same time, you hold your ground on the truth. And you say, this is the truth. And your husband says, you know, hey, why, okay, and what Peter's saying is, by your steadfast love and humility and your submission, then you will create situations where he's going to eventually, guys are, again, like I told you, we're stupid, so if you keep standing on it and fighting for it, eventually we're going to be like, why are you making such a big deal? That's your door. You say, aha, this fool finally understood what's going on, okay, and then you dialogue. This is what I mean, right? By evangelism through action. That when you love your husband, even though he's a complete idiot, and even, God, ladies, let me tell you a secret, right? Even the guys who are Christians, they're idiots too, okay? one day Jesus will sanctify us completely and we will not be big idiots, but in the meantime, while we're on this earth, we are going to be complete idiots. It's just, you just got to have to live with that, okay? And so the crazy lesson here is this, okay? Instead of just being like a slave and just laying down for whatever your stupid husband wants to do, Peter is saying, no, no, no. Submit to your husband, standing on the truth. Submit to your husband in love and humility. Right? Dialogue with them. And by submitting to your husband in love, you will, Lord willing, you will somehow eventually get him to come and submit to Christ. Right? That's the crazy point right there. Right? He's saying, ladies, when you submit to your husband in love, right, and you're steadfast, and you got, and you're committed. You have to. Right, we're talking about commitment yesterday at IHOP. Right, commitment. Right, Elliot? Once you're committed, you got to go all the way. Right, you go all the way. Even though it makes no sense, right, you got to go all the way. Okay. And so, ladies, you committed to Christ, right, and you fight for it, right, and then and your hope is that by your submission to your husband, you will bring him then under submission to Christ. That is your power of evangelism. Okay? So, just wrapping things up, a couple things we want to look at. Okay? Peter, we haven't talked about the role of husbands. And Peter, actually, just in quantity, doesn't talk about the husband specifically as much as he talks about the ladies. But there are things that he talks about in terms of in implicit lessons. Meaning, it's not out there, but it's between the lines, okay? And what that is this. We have to see the humongous impact of our personal faith in the life of others, especially our spouses. Especially our spouses. Your faith, one day, when you guys get married, your faith will greatly impact another person's faith. And it will nurture and nourish them, or it will damage them. In the same way, they will do it to you. So you got to understand it. Right? This is why family is such a big deal. Right? This is why also Paul says, talking about the church, he says, hey, guys, when you guys pick your elders and your pastors, hey, don't pick the guys that look okay. Look at their families. Interview the wives. Interview their employees and their co-workers. Right? Not to say that we gotta pick all the guys who have it all together, because honestly, none of us have it all together. But what you wanna do is you wanna go for the guys who are actually working and fighting for their families, right? They're fighting for their wives, they're fighting for their kids, right? And that when they go to work, right, and you ask them, right, I hope one day, Lord willing, I will be able to go to Sung's workplace and ask his boss, hey, I want to nominate Sung to be a deacon or an elder of our church. And he says, wasn't he a deacon or an elder? And I'll tell him what it is. And he'll say, that makes complete sense. And I'll say, why? He says, because he's already acting like it. That's all I need. Maybe one day, Lord willing, Jay will find a nice girl. I'll say, Mrs. J. Troy, what were you thinking? Number two, I don't think about nominating Jay for elder, especially to head up the missions to North Korea. What you think about that? No, that's crazy. You out of your mind. He hates Koreans. Oh, okay. Right? And so, guys, think about that. Your faith is not just, we don't live in bubbles. We live in community. And God designed it that way on purpose. We're accountable to each other. This is why church is a big deal. That's what we say, when we say church is a family, that's what we're talking about. Accountability. Meaning your faith affects mine, and my faith affects yours. And don't think, oh, it's all about the leaders. It's all about PCM or Elliot or Johnny or whatever. No. Your faith, however small or insignificant you might think, no, your faith affects me. Your faith affects me. And so that when I hear from Hunter's mom, yeah, he's growing. It's crazy. I don't have to tell him all the, I don't have to yell at him for all the stuff that I used to. That encourages me. Right? That feeds my soul. Right? So, community. Right? And especially in families. Let's pray.